Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the new screensavers is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. The new screensavers is brought to you by WordPress. Plans start at just $4 a month. 29% of the internet runs on WordPress. Shouldn't you get 15% off your brand new website today at WordPress.com/NSS. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. I know home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/NSS. And by Eddie Bauer. This winter, don't let the cold hold you back from getting outdoors. Eddie Bauer's new Evertherm down jacket is unlike any other. No quilting, no cold spots. This is down. Available exclusively at Eddie Bauer stores or eddiebauer.com/evertherm. Eddie Bauer. Live your adventure.
A pixel party, laying down multi-track beats, and the top video games to buy this holiday. Live from the Twit Eastside Studios in beautiful Petaluma, it's the new Screensavers!
Video of us. That was fun when we that day we went to San Francisco, riding the Segways around.
The first and last time in my life I've ever ridden a Segway.
Well, you might notice if you watch it closely, I'm holding it like this, especially going down Lombard Street, the world's greatest. Because that I'd never really done that. It was like I didn't feel like I had any control over
it. I feel like we, at least for me, since that was my first time with a Segway, I feel like it was here. You're an expert level right now.
Right.
Go ahead and ride around the streets of San Francisco because there are all those hills. I felt like I was going to die the whole time.
Yeah,
but it
me
was
too.
Fun.
If you look at us closely, we're all like.
Of course, I didn't fit on the Segway. They don't make a tall version of the Segway.
Well, yeah, did you have to like go like this?
Well, if you next time you
You're
watch
hunched
that
over
open,
a little bit, I noticed that. Yeah,
watch, you'll see. I'm pretty hunched over.
That tall fella is Jason Hell, host of All About Android and Tech News Weekly.
Hello.
This is episode 131 of the new Screensavers for Saturday, November 18th, 2017. And we're going to have a pixel party on today's show.
We got all the
pixel stuff. I have the you have had this for a while, but I got my Pixel 2 XL.
You got the Panda.
And I have a dissenting opinion on this. We'll get you our reviews of that. I got the Pixel Buds. Ooh. Feel that fabric.
I have not messed around with the Pixel Buds yet.
I will have a review, and I have to say, I think in some cases the tech blogs got it wrong on these. In some cases, they got it right.
I couldn't help but notice you know how to wrap it around.
Well,
a lot of people had a hard time wrapping it around.
Well, that's an example of how they got it wrong. There was a sticker here that explained how to do it. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah.
You have the Pixel Book. I have it, too. I actually really like it. This is the most expensive Chromebook you can buy.
In fact,
if you get the fully equipped version, it's $1,650. I don't think there's ever been a more expensive Chromebook.
That is not this version.
And add $100 for the Pixel Pen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to talk about that. Yep, all coming up in just a little bit. Also, you have a new thing. We should mention, Jason is an accomplished recording artist. His second Yellow Gold album is out, and you're Kickstartering it, right?
Well, it's the third.
The third?
So, yeah, this would be the third one that I'm going for right now. Yeah. We'll see.
So,
in that nervous Kickstarter moment of like, it's a couple of days that it's happened, and I'm really kind of worried.
We'll send people there. We'll tell everybody how they can support the artist.
I think everybody that does a Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign hits that point.
Oh, yeah.
They're just like, okay, I launched, and I'm really scared.
I don't know if you use this, but you do know a lot about recording equipment. So we're going to look at an inexpensive device designed to work with an iPad to do multi-track recording.
It's a lot of fun.
It looks like it's really cool.
Yeah.
We have a holiday gift guide. We're continuing. Every week from now through the holidays, we're going to do a holiday gift guide. This week, Charlie Hall from Polygon will talk about the best video games to give the gamer in your life. The Noon System is a new smart home device that doesn't include lights, it actually is smart enough. There's switches that are smart enough to go out and check and see what kind of lights you have and then set up the system automatically. Megan will have her review. Also, you have the brand new OnePlus 5T. This comes out November 21st. This is early, and so we're embargoed on some of the things we can say, but we can at least get a first look from you, right?
Absolutely.
Very. I've always liked the OnePlus phones, going way back to the OnePlus One. And, of course, call for help in Mailbag. But first, the big stories. I have to say, now, I'm a Tesla owner, so okay. I'm already in the club of too much of a Tesla fan to be smart. I don't know. I mean, these are expensive cars, and they now have the Model 3. So this week, Elon, you know, I'm kind of an Elon fanboy, announced the Tesla diesel truck.
Yeah.
It's not diesel, is it?
Well, it's electric. But
it's an electric
diesel. It goes toe-to-toe with the diesel truck.
Look at it. It's a semi, right?
Oh, my goodness. Look at that thing. It looks like a missile.
It is 0 to 60 if it's towing 80,000 pounds in 20 seconds. In other words, don't get in front of it. That's one of the things electric motors are famous for, their torque. Amazing torque. Goes up a 5% grade at 65 miles an hour. 500-mile range. And it turns out that 80% of all truck deliveries are 350 or less.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
now,
that.
Now, did they mention how long it would take to charge this sucker?
Actually, I believe they did. I think they said 400 miles on 30 minutes of charge from a mega charger.
Oh, you need not a supercharger. You need a mega charger.
Which, I mean, ends up being kind of the challenge that Tesla is going to face, not only with this, but with any of their electric vehicles, is just the infrastructure that's required. They're building out kind of coverage around the U.S. anyways. But is it good enough for something like this to be totally mainstream?
People are ordering them. Walmart ordered 15. J.B. Hunt ordered some. It's got a sleeper cab, so that, you know, I imagine at some point they're going to go autonomous on these. I mean, knowing Elon. And it'd be fun to drive it, right?
It looks comfy in there.
It's not expensive, too. I don't know what a diesel sleeper would cost. Traditionally, I guess it's $140,000 to $170,000. This is going to be how much? Do we know?
I don't know that we have a price for it at this point.
But you can get a list for $5,000. Tesla always does that. You can get it. So they're driving the truck around. They're showing it. I think Elon drove the first one in. And then Elon says one more thing.
One more thing. So Tesla has a one more thing. I thought that was pretty
The truck opens up. The fog comes up. The lights come on. And out comes a car, the new Roadster. Nobody knew this was going to happen.
That's crazy.
So that was the first car Elon made. The first Tesla was based on the Lotus Elise body. In fact, it was a Lotus Elise with an electric motor in it. And that got Tesla jump-started. But I think for a long time, people have said, you know, you've got these motors are so amazing. Wouldn't it be cool if you made, like, a car built for speed? 0 to 100 kilometers in 1.9 seconds, 250 miles an hour.
Oh my goodness! Top speed over 250 miles per hour. That is crazy.
Yeah. So base price $200,000. If you want to get one, it won't be out until 2019. You can get a Founders Edition for $250, and you need to put a deposit down now of $50,000.
No big deal. Just throwing a $50,000 deposit down on.
Not for
they
you
call
and
it
me.
The fastest production car ever made. 620 miles of range.
Now, people who drive internal combustion engines or ICE cars are really going back and forth about, well, could this really compete on the, what do they call it? The Nibelungen, the track? The Nibelungen. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, I don't know anything about it. But anyway,
we need Google Translate.
That's
for Leo.
We do. We'll show you. Maybe I get those Pixel buds. We'll. You know, it's not. I think it's just. You know, you want to have this car if you have money to burn, basically.
Yeah.
And people like Jason Calacanis, I'm sure, run out and buy it. I wouldn't. Truth is, I have my car has insane mode. Not even the fastest. There's a ludicrous mode of acceleration. I think my Tesla Model X does something like 0 to 60 in 6 seconds, 5.8 seconds, something like that. I can't use it.
Where would you use 0 to 60 in 2?
Out front here.
Why would you need that? Do you need that?
You don't need it.
Okay.
It's just to show off. Because in order to do it, you have to bring the car to a stop. You press the accelerator and the gas pedal all the way in. You hold it for a couple of seconds. Then you release. There's this whole process to turn it on.
It's like an intentional, like, you have to jump through all these hoops.
Have to
because what you were about to do is really probably very stupid in most
places. Drag racing on a city street. Nürburgring. Yeah. Thank you. So, Nürburgring. It's a ring in Nürburg. Anyway, the point I was going to make is even with just normal acceleration, if I floor my Model X, I red out. I don't do it anymore because I start to lose consciousness. So I'm thinking that's probably not a good thing to do.
No, you probably don't want to do that.
And in this car, I for sure black out.
Yeah.
So no, I don't know who would want this, but.
Interesting little fact about the semi. Musk said the truck is more aerodynamic than a Bugatti Chiron.
Well, look at it. Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
It's kind of cool looking. I think if, you know.
They are cool. Hey, they're
if semi-trucks. I were an independent operator,
we're calling them cool looking.
And I wanted to run around the Nürburgring in my semi-tractor trailer, I'd buy this for sure. The problem really is it's got, 500-mile range. You really can't cut it in half because you got to get there and back. So it's 250-mile back and forth.
Yeah.
And then I think, and realistically, you're going to charge it overnight. Where are you going to find a super mega super duper charger, right? You're going to charge it overnight, right? Boston?
Maybe someday you'll find them everywhere.
Truck stops.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. Yeah, cool. And you can get 500 if you go to your destination. There's a charger there, and drive back.
Yeah.
You have to eat lunch sometime.
You know, chicken fried steak. You got to take at least half an hour to eat that.
Yeah.
You can't. You just power that down. So,
yeah, it's true.
On other news, you don't have a review, but you have a review unit. Your review will be next week.
All
about Android.
So yeah, the embargo lifted on the OnePlus 5T, which is the phone that I have here, a few days ago, and basically, I don't think full reviews, and mind you, I haven't been using it long enough to do a full review, anyways. Happen early next week, so. We're allowed to kind of show it off, and we've seen a lot of kind of first looks.
Oh, it doesn't have that grippy back anymore. It's got a smooth finish metal back.
More of a smooth finish back. Yeah. And as you can see, kind of changes from the 5 to the 5T. The 5 came out in June, if memory serves. So this is kind of like a incremental update number-wise, but pretty big update in design in a lot of ways. You've got the fingerprint moved to the back.
The
front.
So now we can do full bezel. I mean, minimal bezel. Full
yeah,
screen.
So now when you do your display, here, let me get rid of that. There we go. Well, whatever. There we go. And it's a little bright, but my apologies. But you can see that the top and bottom bezels are more minimal than if you had a fingerprint and a home button in there.
It actually looks a lot like the Pixel XL.
Put
the Pixel
very
XL
similar.
Next to it.
Very similar bezels. The Pixel XL kind of justifies those bezels a little bit more with the front-facing speakers, I suppose. But, I mean, it doesn't bother me. I don't mind having a little bezel here. And the sides look really nice. So they did that. Apparently, they've improved the dual camera sensors on the back for better low-light performance. And you can still do your portrait mode photos. This is actually a really great pick if you want kind of a mid-pricing tier Android phone and you want a really great camera.
That's something that you get one here. Of course the Pixel 2s don't have is dual lenses. It's just a single lens.
Yeah, but they're doing some really cool software stuff to make up for it.
We'll
talk about that in a second. Yeah. You still have the Snapdragon 835 in here, 2.45 gigahertz, 64 gig with 6 gigs of RAM, or 128 gigs with 8 gigs of RAM.
So that's the new thing. The Razer phone also has 8 gigs. People are putting a lot of RAM. I don't know if Android needs that much RAM. You know, the iPhone 10 only has 3 gigs of RAM. Yeah. Do you think Android benefits from 6 or 8 gigs of RAM?
I'm having a hard time knowing why you need more than 4, 6, or 8. However, at the same time, I end up falling into the category of
more is better.
But if you can give it to me, then great, I'll take it. Because maybe down the line,
right,
it'll be useful. Maybe it matters in some really high power intensive games. That sort
I mean,
of
Google
stuff.
Only puts what? How much? 4 gigs in the
I
Pixel?
I believe it's 4 gigs in the Pixel.
If Google is good enough with 4 gigs for Android, I would think that'd be enough. But yeah, maybe you want more.
Yep.
Some people like having extra RAM.
Now, because they've made the changes on the front, they've actually got a larger display in here. I think the 5 was a 5.5-inch display,
right,
and this is a 6-inch display. The design is pretty much the same, like the body size and everything.
And
so
it's
still maximizing your space.
The Oxygen OS, which is a pretty pure Android experience.
Yeah.
They're keeping it up to date. In fact, is it Oreo yet, or is it still 7?
No, this is still Nougat.
And they're going to update to Oreo, they someday. Say, soon. But, yeah, who knows how long that'll be. Battery life, so far, has been pretty good. Again, I've only had it a couple of days, so it's really hard for me to really know what that's going to come out to. But it's still 3,300 milliamp hour battery inside. So.
Traditionally, the OnePlus battery life has been very good.
Yeah.
It certainly was with the first one.
As far as the mid-tier phone, Android phones are concerned, OnePlus is a brand that continues to come out of the gate with devices that are very affordable, very dependable, nicely designed. You don't feel like you're using a lower tier phone when you have it in your hand and in use. I mean, they really give you a lot underneath, like we were talking, the Snapdragon 835 and the lots of RAM. So they're not cheaping out on a lot of these things. So you get a lot for your money.
I don't know if you do this on All About Android. One of my habitual things when I get a new Android phone is to look at, A, of course, which version of Android, but then B, even more importantly, what security patch. How can you, I don't know if you could talk about that yet, which, how late.
So the current, like how regularly they're updated on security.
On the current Pixel 2, we're at November 5th for the security patch. What is your security
patch
level?
Let's see here, this, October 1st.
So that's not bad.
Not bad.
So there, and
but
that's
this just came
that's
out.
As good as any phone out there. In fact, I have Samsung phones that are still in August.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So from a security point of view, that you want one that is going to be as close to up to date as possible. That's pretty. That's close.
That's like
close
a month behind. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's pretty good.
I would agree.
And I bet you before they ship. Remember, they're not even out yet.
Right.
Before they start shipping, they'll have in November.
Yeah, I believe these start shipping in a couple of days.
November 21st is announced. So I guess you could pre-order. And get it pretty quick.
Yeah, so far so good.
How much?
I like the changes that they made. $499, up from $479 on the 5. So you pay $20 more. It is interesting to see how OnePlus as a brand continues to ramp up the price. You know, remember when they first launched with the OnePlus 1, I believe it was right around $300, right?
Yeah,
it was $299.
Yeah. But you could hardly get it. You had to get an invitation.
Yes.
This you could just buy now, right?
This you can just, you'll be able to just buy this in a couple of days when it goes on sale. But it is interesting to kind of see that price creeping up. But I really don't care. I feel like they really do justify the cost for their hardware, and they don't go overboard as far as that's concerned.
Type-C charging?
Yep, and you get their Dash charging, which is kind of their fast charge.
I always like that.
To bump it up as quickly as possible.
Okay, here's the big question.
Yeah.
Headphone jack?
Headphone jack. Oh. It's down there. They're holding on to it. Who knows how long they're holding on to it? Because it really just does seem like the trend, the general trend, especially when you've got a USB-C port like this one has, is that they're getting away.
Oh, I want my headphone jack. None of my current phones have them anymore.
I keep getting stung by it. I get in my car with my phone, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to... Oh, man, it's inside. And I guess it's not the end of the world, but it's just stinks.
You are going to talk to the marketing head of OnePlus on Tuesday.
Absolutely. We're talking with Kyle Kang. I believe he's going to be in studio. He might be on Skype, but he said he might be able to come in. And we're going to talk to him at the start of All About Android, talk about the OnePlus 5T, talk a little bit about this engineer mode news that we've heard a little bit about with OnePlus phones.
So that worries
having
me.
Having some sort of a diagnostic...
entry point. So it's interesting because initially, and I don't know if Kyle addressed this, but OnePlus said, oh, no, that's a Qualcomm program that must have been left on by accident. Then Qualcomm, by the way, it gives you root mode access. So your phone, if I could like borrow your OnePlus, go like this real quickly and then give it back to you, I could own it and then put stuff on it and do all sorts of bad things. But then Qualcomm said, well, okay, but we looked at their engineer mode. That's not some of our source code's in there, but not all by a long shot. So we think that's a OnePlus version of the engineering mode that OnePlus left on there. It's not our fault, in other words. So I wonder. I don't know if Kyle will address that.
I'm very curious to ask Kyle some questions on that regard. We'll see if he can dig into.
I'm guessing it won't be on there when it ships. I hope.
Well, they've already said that they're going to change that so that in a future software update, so that they can remove ADB root functionality.
Good.
From that.
Good.
Because apparently this type of mode, this type of diagnostic mode, commonly is in phones prior to shipping to consumers. But it can be kind of hard to remove that entirely prior to shipping. And so instead, they shove it deep inside of the OS, almost like you're protected because it's so obscured from anyone. Turns out it's not completely obscured, and if it can be found, that can open up some dangerous holes.
We know how well security by obscurity works.
Yes, we do.
Because hackers will find it right away.
So. Yeah, because they're always looking for it.
There's it's in here somewhere. All right. So full review when? On All About Android, you think, or next week? Or
Definitely within a week. I'm not sure if it'll be on next week's new screensavers, but for sure on All About Android.
Excellent. Yeah. Look forward to it. I'm a big fan of OnePlus, and
me too.
I look forward to hearing more about the phone. We've got the latest Pixel gear, including the Pixel Buds, which just came out this week, the Pixel 2 XL. You and I both have. You've got your new Pixel Book and Pixel Pen.
I love this thing.
We'll get reviews of all the new Pixel things. And, yes, we're going to try the instantaneous translation mode to see, because that was something Google made a big deal about with the announcement of the Pixel XL and the Pixel 2 XL and the Pixel Buds. We'll see if we can get it working this time.
Let's see if it can hold up to its promises.
First, though, a word from our sponsor. And when I say word, I mean word. All my words go into WordPress. I have been a very happy WordPress customer. Since I first installed WordPress, I was back in the days of Matt Mullenweg, like 1.0. I ran my own server, ran the WordPress software, blogged on it for years in the 2000s. Now I'm on WordPress.com, and I have to say I like it even more. The same great WordPress platform. There's my blog, leolaporte.com. Same great WordPress platform, but instead of me having to worry about keeping it up to date, putting patches and all that, they do it. They support it. They've got great templates. It's everything you love about WordPress, only easier. I am such a fan. And by the way, it costs me less than it did to own my own server and put WordPress on it, not to mention a lot less time. I can now focus on blogging. And this is great for anybody who wants to have a website. And incidentally, if you have a business and you don't have a website, you're really missing the boat. It's not enough to have a Facebook page or a Twitter account. You need to have a place that's yours, that you own, that you call home, that has your domain name, that, you know, your business's name, a place for customers to find out about you, a place for you to communicate with them, and importantly, with WordPress.com, a great place for customers to share your site with other customers. That's one of the best things about WordPress. You get automatic social sharing, you get search engine optimization, and you don't have to know anything about these technologies. You get it automatically. You don't need experience. You don't need to hire anybody. You just go to WordPress.com, pick a template. Don't worry, you're not locked in. You can change it at any time. They take care of all the technical stuff. It's easy to get your site up and running. Do what you do best. Do what you got into business to do. You don't have to learn web technology. You just have to go to WordPress.com. And their business plan lets you access hundreds of plugins and themes. In fact, you can even bring your own themes and bring your own plugins. Some of the best publications in the world run on the WordPress platform, the WordPress.com VIP platform, including Quartz. I mean, it's amazing. Customer support team, I've used them. They're fantastic. They're there 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and on weekends too. Prices start as low as $4 a month. Did you know that 29%, this is up. In fact, it was when we started doing this, the WordPress ads a year ago, it was 27% of all websites in the world ran on WordPress. Now it's 29%. I take credit for those 2%.
Personally, as you should, Leo.
As I should. WordPress.com/NSS to get started. In fact, if you go there, you'll save 15% on your new plan purchase. WordPress.com/NSS. Thank you, WordPress, for giving me a great platform for my blog and for powering 29% of the web. Amazing.
Wowza.
Pixel time!
Pixel party.
Where should we start on the Pixel party? Well, how long have you had your Pixel 2 XL?
I've had my Pixel 2 XL, and apparently I have it in the other room, so I apologize.
It's all right. I got mine.
Probably about, 2.5-3 weeks now.
Yeah, so I've had mine 1 week. So a couple of things to say. First of all the reviews talked a lot about two things, screen burn-in and the LG panel. They said, it's not as good as a Samsung panel. And Google said, okay, well, we're going to respond in two ways. One, we're going to extend the warranty to 2 years, double it for free.
Yep.
And which is nice. Nice to have a two-year warranty. Two, we're going to release an update, which they did yesterday, at least on my phone, that fixes some of the problems. And I'm going to show you the biggest change in the update. It's in the display settings. And under advanced, if you've got a Pixel phone, you should absolutely look at colors. They now have a setting for natural, which is how it came. And in fact, if I show you the natural, this is when I first saw your phone, I said, ooh, that's so washed out.
Yeah.
They
would say it's more natural.
That's the word they use.
You know, we get used to a more saturated display with phones like Samsung.
It's funny. Displays. That's what the thing is. I was comparing it to Samsung and the iPhone X. If you hit saturated, it's so funny. It looks exactly like a Samsung phone. It is exactly as appealing to me as the Samsung Note 8. Maybe not quite as good a screen, but a pretty darn good screen. It's very fast. It's, you know, it's got all the bells and whistles of all the high-end flagship phones like the Snapdragon 835 and all of that. And I think the screen is fine. I have not seen any burn-in in my week, and you haven't seen any in yours at all?
You know, if I did, I wouldn't know how to find it. It hasn't appeared in, you know, while I'm watching video or anything like that, and there's never a time where I'm removing those navigation buttons to see what's behind them.
This is where I want to pick a little bit of a nit with bloggers, tech blog reviewers. First of all, they've got to get out there as fast as possible, right? They often will do a review in one day. I love it that you aren't willing yet to say a verdict on the OnePlus 5T because you haven't had it long enough, right?
Yeah, what would I base it on?
but there's such competition among tech bloggers that they often come out in a day or two.
Yeah, because there's that rush to be the first, because if you're the first, people are still eager to find out about, you know, find out information, find content on that coverage. So if you're the first, you get those early visits.
And I don't think it's fair to users, because you're not really getting the experience. Right. So we buy our phones, both Jason and I bought our phones, and we use them for a week or two, and we really give you kind of an ongoing experience. I have to say, the screen, maybe it's not quite as beautiful as the Note 8, which is the leader, or the iPhone 10, but it's more than adequate. And I love the pure Android. Notice, by the way, I'm using Action Launcher. I'm not using the Pixel Launcher. But I love this phone. I think it's a great phone. I love the Panda, the black and white with the orange
button.
Yeah,
that looks nice.
I think it's nice styling.
That's compared to just the all black, by the way, I do have. Thank you, Jerry.
This nice metal soft touch finish
feels nice.
Is robust. It means, because it's metal, there's no wireless charging. I'm going to ding him for that. And I'm sad to say there's no, gosh darn it, headphone jack. It does
living
ship
the dongle life.
It doesn't ship with Type-C headphones, but it does ship with a Type-C dongle, so you can use your headphones with it.
Yeah.
And of course, they're encouraging you use their new Bluetooth headphones, the Pixel Buds. We'll talk about that in a second. Just like iPhones encourage you to use AirPods.
Right.
So this has now become Apple and, you know, their thing, and Google and their thing.
Yep.
I think compared to the iPhone X, Google's fingerprint reader is more reliable. It works every time. I find that the Face ID on the iPhone X sometimes doesn't work at night. It doesn't work in some of the situations I'm in. Mm-hmm. I find myself at least once a day entering the PIN. The fingerprint reader is quick, reliable, and works every time. Plus, I can have somebody else's fingerprint on there, which is nice for, you know, your spouse, for instance, if you want to give them access to your phone. That's a really nice feature. You can't do that with Face ID. You have to. It's one person and one person only.
You also get a little bit of swipeable actions on the fingerprint.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever use that, but I don't use it more and more.
It's there, and since your finger naturally falls on that part of the phone when you pick it up.
That's what I really like.
I do like the squeeze feature.
I cannot get into the squeeze feature.
See, that's personal, right? You could turn it on or off. The idea that you squeeze the bottom of the phone and that launches the assistant. And it's a very quick and easy thing to do as you pull the phone out of the pocket. See, she's already listening to me, and if I had given her a command, she would be doing something with it. Instead of just
transcribing what you're saying.
What the heck are you talking about?
Let's see what you just meant there. I don't know.
But it's just very natural. If you have the phone in your pocket, and I'm sorry about all the rattling on the mic, and you pull it out, you've already squeezed it. It's kind of a natural thing.
I keep waiting for it to become second nature to me to do that. I'm sure at some point it will, because I know when you start getting into new ways,
you got to learn it.
Yeah, you have to learn it. You have to train yourself to think about assistant in this case as that being the way that you summon it. But I'm just so used to the voice command.
Yeah,
or
you can still
whatever,
say the you know. Okay, you know who.
Yeah,
not gonna.
So I end up doing that more.
Too. Yeah.
But anyways.
I love the always-on display. This is something OLED screens have had both on Samsung and other things. By the way, it will show you notifications. I have that turned off, but it will show you notifications. It will show my name and address on this. And this is a new feature which I really like. If you turn it on, it will identify any songs that are playing ambiently, and it works.
It works
so crazy well, almost to the point. So an app that I brought on the All About Android a few weeks ago is called Now Playing History, and it will keep a record of all the songs it ever identifies.
That's cool.
But
here, let me play. Put yours down, and let me just see if it recognizes this song I'm playing here. Go ahead. While we're listening to the song.
And
you don't have to do anything. It just does, right?
Oh, there you go.
See? It recognized
it. It down at the bottom.
Is it right? Yep. Thunder by Imagine Dragons.
By Imagine Dragons.
Isn't that cool?
Yep.
Now, I love that. So there's an app that will keep track of everything you've heard?
Called Now Playing History. You install it, it runs in the background, and it keeps a log of everything that this identifies. Now, this is what I find really interesting about this feature.
I'm going to get that right now.
So I know that this feature has something to do with like a digital fingerprint, an audio fingerprint of music in its database. It's stored on the phone so it recognizes.
Right.
A friend or a friend of All About Android, the show, tweeted me to say that he went to a Lady Gaga concert. And at the end of the Lady Gaga concert, checked Now Playing History, and almost the entire set list was logged there. And I don't know if that says something about Lady Gaga's live shows, about how they're very close to recorded, or whether
this is just really
smart enough to figure it out.
That is really cool. Now Playing History, I'm going to get that.
I didn't expect that.
That's a minor thing, but it's kind of a neat thing, and I like it that it works. And how often are you somewhere where you go, I want to know, and you don't want to pull a phone out and do, launch the. You can do it with Assistant automatically, but I like it that it doesn't.
Also helps you identify songs you really hate.
Yeah, right. Never want
to
hear that again.
I
like the mostly bezel-less display, as you mentioned, and now has front-facing speakers.
Yep.
I got to say, you heard it. It doesn't sound that good. In fact, I wouldn't say it sounds any better coming out of the front than it sounds on the iPhone X coming out of the bottom in the front. So all phone speakers sound pretty tinny and crappy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, you're polishing up.
That thing. Some people like it. If that's something you're looking for, it's got it. It's front-facing left and right speakers. And I guess when you're watching a movie, it's kind of nice that you get stereo sound.
It's nice, but at the same time, I've gotten really used to the bottom-firing speakers because when I drive around, my stereo doesn't work, so I put it in my cup holder, and that bottom-firing fires into the cup holder, and it makes it really loud. A little tip for you.
835 Snapdragon, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gig or 128 gig storage. I find really 64 is enough unless you have a lot of music or pictures on there. And let's talk about the camera. I think, without a doubt, this is the best camera phone on the market. Even though it only has one sensor, it doesn't have the two lenses that a lot of other phones do. Google's using a new kind of... There's some of your pictures, a new kind of... By the way, that's portrait mode I'm seeing.
Yeah, a lot of them I use portrait mode. And I've actually grown to really like the portrait mode on this device, even though I know that it's purely, like it's not using any extra camera.
Well, but remember,
to pull that.
It can split the pixel. It's using dual pixel technology. So it is getting a stereo picture, and they are able with software. Look at that. That is a fantastic picture.
Yeah.
I'm
really happy with the detail.
The way the bokeh in the back is dropped out. Even the selfie cam can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a big feature, I think. You know, a lot of people take pictures of themselves.
I have to say, though, selfie cams are too good now. It's embarrassing. I'm going to smear Vaseline on my front camera. Look at that.
And then you got a little live photo action, right? Now Google's camera on the Pixel is great because it's a great camera. It's also great because if you take a lot of pictures, you get some really cool features. You get those live photos,
and
you get unlimited storage on Google
A couple
Google
of
photos.
Frames before and after.
Yes.
And you get unlimited storage. I saw it was like till 2022 or something.
Putting a date on it.
Yeah.
This was interesting. So I went to a concert last night. It was an acoustic set with a couple of artists that I really like. And one thing that's also really great about this camera, the video camera, is the stabilization that it does. So, I'm sitting in the chair.
Wait, this is handheld?
This is handheld.
It looks like
it's on a tripod, right? So you just sit there. Minor little adjustments here and there if you really move, but the software inside is adjusting it. It's probably cropping off a little bit of information in order to do it, but you end up with what looks like a tripod shot.
Wow.
For the full 4.5 minutes.
Wow.
And it's a good song.
I love the quality of the camera. there's nothing much more to say about it except that this, in terms of, I think, in accuracy of color, the dynamic range, the result, the picture IQ, the image quality. I call it the likability. I feel like these are really fat. Is this yours? That's a tough one. That's
home.
In the dark at night.
It was in the dark.
The sparklers.
And I think it did a pretty good job.
I'm very happy with this camera. I think the images are fantastic. So what else can we say about this? The battery life, I'm consistently Great. Going to bed with 30 or 40%.
And you're getting better battery life on the 2XL than you would on the 2. It's okay. a larger
it's
battery.
A bigger battery.
Yeah, bigger battery. So it's definitely the choice if that's a big importance to you.
35, 20 milliamp hour battery. Yeah, I think this is it's at 66% now, but I'll have no problem getting through the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I would say 18 or 19 hours pretty consistently. And the way I use it, your mileage may vary. It is a 6-inch P-OLED, which is an LG OLED, quad HD, 2880 by 1440. That's good battery life for such a high-resolution screen. Mm-hmm. Anything else we want to say about it? I think this is a great phone. If you need an Android phone, I would say go with Google only because you're guaranteed the updates. And Google has announced that they're going to do that for at least 3 years.
I have a feeling people are going to be a little gun-shy if they follow, you know, a lot of the tech blogs and this network, especially because of the display. There's been a lot of hoo-ha around the display. It's worth it to just get it and see how you feel about it, right? Live with it for a week. You've got a return policy if you buy directly from Google. There's no reason not to. I feel like the benefits far outweigh any of the drawbacks, and I've gotten really used to the display.
I think
it doesn't bug me at all.
Fabulous, fabulous display. I couldn't tell you. I can't tell you how happy I am with this.
I was worried going in, and I'm happy.
If you want it to look like a Note, you turn the saturated setting on, and that's an update that just came out. I think you're going to be very happy, and I don't see any burn-in. I don't know what the burn-in people are talking about. There is one thing everybody should be aware of, and this is an OLED issue that others have complained about. If you do off-angle viewing on these screens, they tend to turn blue. You're not going to see a big difference.
That's a blue background.
Yeah, blue
background. But if you pull your app drawer up, that might be a good indicator
that's
white.
That's gray But
here, I might be able to show you with mine.
Let's see. Here we go. Here's a white. So watch. So it's white when it's... Even that looks a little bluish.
It does.
And then as you tilt it up a little bit, you see.
You get that blue
That
view.
Doesn't bother me. That's off-axis viewing. Remember the LCD, the TFT LCDs? You couldn't even see them, and they got off-axis.
It doesn't bother me in use. In principle, it kind of does, only because these are expensive phones. And
All OLEDs do that a little bit.
Sometimes I feel like you don't see it as much as you do here.
Even the iPhone X. Even on iPhone 10, a little bit.
Yeah.
Although this is the best screen I've ever seen. But that's another matter. all right. So that's the Pixel 2 XL. In my opinion, high recommendation if you're looking for an Android phone.
Completely agree.
Now, doesn't have a headphone jack. So they want you to buy these. These are the Pixel Buds. Now, I just got these yesterday. And we've already read numerous terrible reviews.
Yeah,
some of which... unfounded. For instance, a lot of people said, well, the pairing doesn't work. You're supposed to do this like the iPods where you open up the case and it pairs. But they say very clearly in that to remove the film, this is what I think happened, remove the film on the back. The Pixel Buds aren't charged when you get them, just the case.
Oh.
There's a film over the pogo pins on the Buds. And then it says remove the film and then charge it for 10 minutes before you try to pair. Once I did that, it paired just fine. There is an extra pairing button here you can use to pair with non-Pixel phones. So the pairing works fine. Other people complain, it's so hard to wrap the cord around. What?
Yeah,
come on. Really?
Have a problem with that.
Really? Come on. Is that hard? This is just like the AirPods and others, the Broggies from Dash. This is a charging case. So see the pogo pins in there. And there is a reason you want to keep track of left and right, because the right headphone is the one you tap for all the functionality. And that's... who's going to want to get this? People are going to want to get these if they have Pixel 2s, because really it works best, although it would work with any Bluetooth phone, it works best with the Pixel 2s.
Extra features for the
but
Pixel 2s.
But the Google Assistant works with it. You can see I said hello, Google.
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help.
I know you're not. So, and other people complain about this case. That doesn't bother me. It's a fabric covered, all the Google stuff.
Yeah, that's Google's aesthetic, right?
So let's take it out and let's show you a little bit. So remember, you're going to put, and it says very clearly L&R, which is nice. I'm going to take out my headphones here. Oh, this is another weird thing. First of all, it does have a cord. Do not cut the cord. There's wires in there. They're talking to each other through the cord. All right?
Okay. Are you kind of disappointed there's a cord? Because
no.
Like the AirPods, they're...
They fall out and you lose them. The cord, if they fall out, at least it's going to stay on your neck.
Yeah,
I have no problem at all with a cord. I highly recommend a cord.
All right.
And then they're doing something interesting with a cord. See this little orange thing on here? That's a stop. The idea is you pull this ear thing out, and then this is going to go in your ear, and that's going to rest in the little, you know, cup of your ear, and it keeps them in pretty well. Now, these are not in-ear monitors. These are like the Apple headphones. In fact, if you just looked at the player part, they look kind of like the Apple headphones. Those are going to sit kind of in your ear cavity. So watch now. I'm going to lift it to my ear. don't want to throw Alex here. And when you put it in, you're going to get that loop to kind of go in there.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And actually, the sound is very, very good. Oh, sure, you look like a dork with gauges in, but the sound, you can get other colors. I got white because I thought, well, why try to hide it?
White's the one that they're having a hard time keeping in stock, I've noticed.
People want white.
Everybody wants white.
I don't think these look as bad, nearly as bad as the Pixel. I mean, the AirPods, you don't have that little thing. And you can make phone calls with these, which is nice. It's got a microphone built into it. The bass is very rich, very good. I'll give you these to try after the show. You can see. The bass is very good. The high end's very crisp. I think it's excellent sound for Bluetooth, and it doesn't seem to have many of the Bluetooth issues, dropout, clicking, and so forth. It's doing a high-quality codec.
Oh, okay.
And it's an AAC codec to the phones, and I think they sound very good. And you might want to leave them in all day. Now, they claim 5-hour battery life, but they charge from this. This has 24 hours total. So after wearing for 5 hours, you might want to put this in. Mm-hmm. I would leave these in all the time, even if you're not listening to music. And I'll tell you why. You get your Google Assistant announcements. So if I get a new text message, for instance, it'll beep me. I tap it once. It'll read me the text message. And then she'll say, would you like to reply? And I can reply, which is great, via dictation. So a lot of the functionality that you would get with your phone, you get with just having these in all the time. Hmm. So I have to say, I feel like that's a... Let me... I'm putting them in backwards. That's not smart. I'm a little distracted here. Let's do it right. Yeah. I'm going to take it out in a second because I want to try the translation thing. And that was
right,
something.
That's
so just so you see what it looks like when they're in. They look like headphones.
Yeah.
Like I said, I went to pick up my son at the airport yesterday, and every single person under 30 getting off the airplane was wearing headphones. So this is not so weird. On this one, I have it looped around the ear so you can see. One way to keep it in would be to do that. But you don't need to. You can have, have it come out just like I have here. Sound quality is great. You stop the song by tapping it once. You can swipe forward to turn it up, swipe back to turn it down, double tap to stop it. Or to answer the phone. And if you tap and hold, what time is it? Assistant will launch, and it will respond to you.
Oh, so did you hear it just...
Yeah, and that's going to tell me what time it is.
Oh, wow.
So that's nice. Kind of cool. In fact, one of the things I did this morning, which was really great, it says, tell me about my day. It says, good morning, Leo. It's 6:35 a.m. Mm-hmm. You've got three appointments. It played my podcast, my daily briefings, including, I have to say, TNW's on that list.
Excellent.
Don't know how. Never mentioned it, but they knew. So that's pretty cool. But Google did a big thing when they announced this. And I don't know how well this is going to work, but we're going to bring Hase Gaskar on here. She is a wonderful part of our team. Come on up here, Hase. We had to find somebody that speaks another language because this has Translate built into it. And I have yet to get this working. So we're going to try one more time with Hase. So the idea is for this to work, the translation to work, you have to have a Pixel 2 phone, XL or regular. And you have to have a Google Translator installed because it's basically going to be doing Google Translate. The only difference is instead of the phone announcing both the English and Spanish, that's what Hase speaks and it does a bunch of other languages, it's going to speak my English as Spanish so she can hear it out of the phone, but her Spanish is going to be translated to English secretly in my ear. Now, it's not going to be completely secret because I'm going to hold this end of the...
It might be secret to the random person you stop on the street.
Well,
yeah.
We'll talk about that in a second. So let me do this. Help me speak Spanish. And it doesn't work. So this is the problem we had a lot before. I never was able to get this to work. But let's see. I'm going to launch Google Translate, see if we can do it from here. All right. Speech input's having difficulties. Try again, it said. Well, let me try again. Headset disconnected. This is what we got every single time.
No.
I can still listen to music. I can still do all the stuff I want to do. But you end up doing it the old-fashioned way, which, by the way, you don't need Pixel Buds or even a Pixel 2 XL to do. You can do on any Android phone with Google Translate. Oh, it's broken. I've broken it.
Oh.
So, you know what, Hase? Thank you for your help.
Buena suerte.
What does that mean?
Thank you. So, it doesn't work.
It doesn't even work.
Doesn't work.
And we should mention, too, prior to recording today's show.
We tried.
We tried, and we finally got there, right?
No, we never got there. It never worked quite right. What is supposed to happen, and what Google's demonstrated, and if you look at YouTube videos, they'll demonstrate, is I say something in English, holding my ear, let go. The phone then translates it into Spanish or whatever language, which she hears, right?
Right.
She responds naturally. Actually, it's not that natural. You have to press a button on the phone, and then she can talk.
And then
it translates it. And by the way, it is not quick turnaround. It's thinking, you know, for a few seconds.
Right.
And it says it in your ear. We were able to get that part to work. I wasn't able to get the press and talk part. I had to use the phone to press to talk. But we were able to get her to translate my ear. Here's the problem. Because she doesn't hear the translation, she has no idea how wrong it is. And so
That's
we found
true.
A number of times it translated it incorrectly. But it's better if you use the phone because then they can hear the translation and say, no, that's not what I meant, and say it again. I think she has a couple of parrots and lives in France. I don't know what's going on. It got it all wrong. So don't buy these for that translation feature. A, because you don't need it. If you've got an Android device, you can use it. But do buy these, I think, because they're very good headphones. They're comfortable. They're easy to wear. I find them pretty good. They're expensive.
I'm not sure how to help with that yet.
I know.
Thank
She's
you
completely
for that
helpless.
Important information.
There are problems with this. Yeah. I wonder if they're fixable in firmware. My guess is they are. And my hope is that these will get better over time. At this point, it's hard for me to recommend these.
Yeah, okay. And especially if you're thinking the translate feature, which was one of the things
feature.
They really pointed out when they were showing off this product.
Yeah, they spent a long time.
Like, isn't this a cool, unique feature? It feels like the future, but often is the case with Google. It's beta.
Type-C charging. You already have a Type-C charger for your phone, so that's okay.
That's nice.
This will be 24 hours with the battery life on the case, 5 hours of battery life on the Pixel Buds. I think they're aesthetically pleasing. They stay in your ear. They're comfortable to wear. The sound quality is superb, best I've ever had on Bluetooth phones, so that's a good thing. But I have to say, and I like the idea that if you wear them around, you're going to get pinged. It really is the beginning of the hearables transition, where you're wearing these and you're always connected to your Google Assistant. I should mention that again that while the translate doesn't work, tapping the right headphone, holding it, and talking to your assistant does work. I used it to dictate text messages, to get the weather, a variety of things. Anything you can do with Assistant, you can do just by pressing your right ear and speaking, and she'll respond in the earbuds privately. I think that's a good feature, too. I like it. In fact, so much so that I'm tempted just to wear these around, even if I'm not listening to music.
Mm.
Oh, one of the things that works nicely is because they're not in-ear monitors, they don't seal you off. And I think that's the reason Google did that. So you can hear what's going on. You could wear them running. You could wear them in normal environment. I could have a conversation with you, be able to hear you, but still be able to hear the assistant. So I like them. I'm probably going to use them, but it's a flawed product. And it might be worth waiting until they do some updates, especially around that translation.
Seems like the synergy between how the hardware and the software are communicating for that for that translation. I have to imagine that's fixable.
It's just software, right?
Yeah.
And it's weird that it doesn't work given how much energy they put into it. Maybe this is me, but the phone really was unhappy. Every time I tried to do it, it said, no, you're not doing it right. I couldn't understand it. Anyway, so mixed bag on this. I'm glad I got them. I wouldn't say to you, don't get them, especially since you don't have a headphone.
I've been holding off. I heard enough negative.
Might be worth waiting.
Like,
now, you and I both spent a crazy amount of money on a Chromebook. This is the new Pixelbook. Let's hear about this.
The Pixelbook, So this, I bought the $999 configuration, which I think is like an i5. You can go all the way up to, what is it?
You can get an i7.
You can add another, i7 for
gigs
another
of RAM,
$650
500
on top of
that. 500-gig hard drive. You don't need that. It's a Chromebook.
Yeah, although I am curious, the i7 versus the i5 that I have here, because I don't know about you, but this is a great Chromebook. I'm really happy to upgrade to it. I still encounter weird little times where things slow down, and I'm just like, why? Why are they slowing down? Why is it having trouble running this app or opening this web page? And it feels like it's a little laggy at points, but maybe that's my high expectations. But this does have 8 gigs of RAM. You can get that all the way up to 16 gigs of RAM. A 12.3-inch LCD
touch display. I can get in here and move things around. That's really nice to have, especially because it can run Android apps in there as well. You've got the full Play Store, which I can launch right here and install any Android app that is compatible with this particular configuration. If it requires certain things like a rear-facing camera, you might have an issue, although this does have a front-facing camera, so maybe that would pass the requirement.
I've used Skype on it, for instance.
So you can use this for pretty much all Android apps, and you might have little issues here and there as far as how those scale to format this, but that might be more of an Android thing, right? Tablet. Mm-hmm.
Most Android's Chromebooks sold ecosystem. This year will do that, though. Yeah. It's not unique to the Pixel Book.
But really nice to have. I'm happy to have it in my Pixel, right. My Chromebook, because I had the first generation. It couldn't do that. Anyways.
The very first Google Pixel Book.
I've been using it up until this one. So I'm just a big fan. It's got a really nice aluminum body to it.
I think the design is fantastic.
USB-C on both sides, and it has this kind of, you know, the ability
it's a two-in-one.
Yeah. To change. It's actually, I think they call it a 4-in-1. So you've got the standard laptop format. You've got the tent format. You've got the movie playing format, let's say. And then you've got the full-on tablet.
Well, I think we should make it 5-in-1 because you can also do it this way.
Oh, okay, that works.
There you go.
Sure, book.
The book format.
It's
a 2-in-1. That's what the industry calls it. Google just decided that it's too better.
You know, sometimes it's just funny to throw a few extras.
It's a good hinge. It feels comfortable. It doesn't creak.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel unsure of itself.
It's strong enough.
It's working. The hinge is excellent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the feel of these soft touch wrist rests.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to show on camera.
You can't tell.
But this has a little bit of a rubbery kind of tactile quality to it, which is when you're using it, a really comfortable surface to place your hands on while you're typing.
And if you compare this to a MacBook or a lot of Windows laptops, that's an excellent keyboard. It's a short travel keyboard, but it feels much better than the MacBook.
It feels really nice, I have
and
to say.
A lot of Chromebooks do not have very good trackpads, but I found it to be very good.
One thing that bugged me a little bit, and I'm curious to know if you got it on yours, is that the backlit, it might be hard to show off in here because we are so bright in here, but you can kind of see when there is a little bit of light
in
the room.
Uneven.
It's very uneven.
See the M where it's bright on the first part of it, but the rest of it's dimmer?
Yeah, and I think I mentioned this when we were talking about this and all about Android 2, but I feel like the cameras, the way they iris, show more than what you see in reality.
It actually looks bad.
In
real life,
especially
it does not
because
look good.
When you're using a laptop, you're never looking at it straight down. You're looking at it kind of sideways, right? It's on a table or it's on a laptop and you're or on your lap and you're sitting to the side. And when you do that, you end up getting more dropout on the keys. So if you're depending on the backlit keys, I've noticed sometimes it gets a little annoying.
I ended up turning mine all the way up, which you do with Alt and the brightness settings. And when it's all the way up, at least you can see what's on the key.
Unless you're in a really bright room.
That's a problem with some backlit keys. And I was surprised that Google made this mistake.
Yeah.
You can't read the keys with the backlight on if it's bright in the room. You have to turn the backlight off to read the keys,
exactly.
Which is very frustrating, and that's because of lack of contrast between the key cap and the lit key letters. It's fine with the light off. It's black and gray, but it's so weird.
But, you know, overall, I've been really liking this. It has its issues. Like I said, sometimes things slow down, and I get a little frustrated with that, but that doesn't happen so often.
See, I haven't noticed that, but maybe that's because you're doing more Android apps than I.
Maybe.
Because those are done really in emulation. It's not.
That's true. Yeah. It's not 100%.
It's an Intel processor, and the Android apps expect an ARM processor.
Which, speaking of, so this is an Android app. I can go ahead and bring that up. This is my
dog. That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
many
I'm
of
no
the
artist.
Apps I had, they start up in phone mode, in a phone aspect ratio, and then if you do what you did, full screen, it'll say, sorry, I have to restart to do that. But at least many apps now, this is a big improvement, many Android apps will take advantage of the whole screen. I like that.
Yeah, I'll go ahead
now, you got the pen. How much is the pen in addition?
So this is the new Pixelbook pen. It is $100.
Yikes.
And you have a
little
button.
Does not come with it.
On the side here, let's see here, if I switch to the Play Store, and I hold down the button and circle something. We're going to circle this Roblox. Is it called Roblox?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Circle Roblox.
That's
Let's
kind
see
of
if
a cool
it does that.
Program.
Ooh. It fires it into Assistant, and it gives me what I, you know, information
did
about
it. It's a screen capture.
It basically does a screen capture query in Assistant of the thing that you
that
circled.
That is nice.
And I could see that being kind of nice once you kind of get used to using it and everything.
I've never used it. I knew it did it, but I've never used it.
Exactly.
It does have a dedicated assistant button, which I kind of do like.
On the keyboard.
And on the pencil, yeah.
Yeah, you hit it on the keyboard, yeah. And it appears over the top of everything you're doing, yeah. a little pop-up window of assistant. It doesn't fire right into voice mode, which for some reason in my mind I feel like it should, or maybe give me an option to do that, but anyways. I'm really liking the Pixel Book. I think the question is always, why does a high-end Pixel or Chromebook exist?
Because.
Because why not?
$1,000 to throw away. You don't. The problem is a lot of Chromebooks, especially the least expensive ones, are kind of cheesy. If you go out, if you spend $500 and you get a Samsung Chromebook Plus or Pro, one of the high-end aluminum unibody Acers or Asuses, those are very, very nice and probably as nice as this. Mm-hmm. There's one thing I mark it down for, and that's the size of the frame on this thing. That is very old-fashioned. Hmm. That screen has a giant... Now, Google says, well, that's so you can hold it as a tablet. But nobody else somehow has to do that. Nowadays, I think most screens should go all the way to the edge, and I just really don't understand why the Pixelbook doesn't, especially for that price.
I can kind of see it.
It's kind of a big bezel. Yeah.
Yeah, the front-facing camera is nothing to write home about, I'll say that.
Yeah, 720p.
But
it looks and feels like a $1,000 notebook. It's very nicely made. Very solid. Battery life was, 11 hours, 10, 11 hours?
The battery life has been
easily.
Really great.
It's best battery life of any Chromebook I've ever used. But it's for people who want, and I think they think of this as the executive crowd. They want a nice, quality laptop, thin and light, but they don't need a full general-purpose operating system like Mac OS or Windows. They just really, this is true of most people, all you really need is a browser.
Yeah.
And so I think I don't agree with the people who say, oh, Chrome OS is nuts. I thought that at first, but it's secure.
Yeah.
You know, you can give it to your family members who are not security gurus and they can't get into trouble. Power wash means you can always go back to the beginning. If you use Google services, it works great. It is not great if you're a G Suite user and you want to use some of these Android apps. You have issues.
Yeah.
Poor Jeff Jarvis is struggling still. Because he uses G Suite. You want to use it with a plain old Google account, not your Google Apps account.
Yeah, it's crazy they haven't got that figured out.
I'm pretty happy with it. I think, I think it's worth $1,000. I don't think it's worth $1,650 for the top of the line.
I would agree. I'm happy to have it, and I personally have been waiting for this, so I feel like it's worth
it. You're in good shape. You needed this.
And also, I think it's probably good to point out that, there's a lot of Chromebook activity happening in education, right? And there are kids growing up with the Chromebook being the way that they do all of this stuff online. So once they move on, once they graduate or whatever, Chrome OS has to have a laptop for them to graduate to. And this
nice.
Could be that option.
Abby's using a Samsung Chromebook Plus, loves it. It's very similar to this. It has the pen built in. It comes with it.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, I would look at that for $500 compared to this. But they have an ARM version, the Plus, and an Intel version, the Pro. I'd get the ARM version, frankly. You get better battery life, and it runs Android apps a little bit better. But if you want something that looks great, works great, and you don't feel like you're a second-class citizen because you're using cheap hardware... Pixelbook is a very good choice. You don't feel like a second-class citizen, do you?
I don't think I do.
You use the Chromebook as your day-to-day computer, right?
I definitely use it here for doing shows. I use it at home for the most part. But, every once in a while, I have a need for something more than just like a basic painting app or whatever. And so I have to turn to like a MacBook Pro.
Yeah, well, for music
use a full-blown like Photoshop or go to my Mac Pro and use that for music production. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and that's
I could use this for 95% of everything I ever do on
a computer. Unless you're doing high-end photo editing, video editing, music production, or launching rocket ships,
right?
Most people can live in the browser very happily. And this is the argument, and I think a lot of people, especially people who watch us, don't get. If that's all you need, that's all you should use. It adds complexity, unreliability, and security issues to have more than you need in a computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem with Chrome OS for 90% of the computer using public. And why not have a nice one?
Yeah.
Why not?
Absolutely.
You're going to spend $1,000 on a computer. Why get more operating system than you need? Get a nice Chromebook. And I think this is the Pixelbook's very nice.
I agree.
So to recap, do we both agree the Pixel 2 XL is a great
thumbs
Android
up
device?
Completely.
Very much a thumbs up.
Yes.
I'm not going to say thumbs down on the Pixel Buds. I'm going to say, maybe not yet. Let's wait and see if they get this working better. We'll give you an update. How about the Pixelbook?
I give it a thumbs up. I think for certain users, you know whether you need or want a Pixelbook,
right,
and whether that actually checks a box for you. And exactly, if that's you, I don't think you're going to be disappointed.
We're going to show you the other thing that Jason does, making music. This is not how he made his new Yellow Gold album. The third album is coming out soon. But it is how you can make... You made some fun stuff with your daughters.
Yeah, we
it's
had
really
a lot
cool
of fun with it.
We'll play with the Spire in just a second. But first, here's Polygon senior reporter Charlie Hall. It's a holiday gift guide, this time video game picks.
This is Charlie Hall, senior reporter with Polygon, and I'm here to talk to you guys today about my picks for the best games for each of the platforms out there right now. We got your Xbox One, we got your PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC. So let's take it from the top here. If you're getting a gift for somebody that owns a PlayStation 4, it's hard not to recommend Destiny 2. Now, Destiny 2 is the latest action-adventure, online, multiplayer circus from the folks over at Bungie, and it's a bunch of fun. It's also available on PC now and on the Xbox One, but the reason I'm recommending it on PlayStation is just because there's more players on PlayStation 4. There, I said it. Destiny 2 is a social game. You're going to need a nerd Sherpa to carry you through the game if you're new to the series. There's a lot of complexity, a lot hidden from view, and it plays best with other people. So why not play it where the most people are? And right now, that's PlayStation 4. The PC experience, though, is available at very high resolutions, very smooth frame rates, and also a very healthy population on Xbox One and the PC. So great options, really, for all of the different platforms, but PlayStation 4 in particular.
This is great. Anyone want a hug? No hugs.
If you're getting an Xbox One in particular, if you're getting a gift for someone with an Xbox One X, which actually has 4K support, true 4K support, they call it, I'm going to recommend Assassin's Creed Origins. This is, a storied franchise from the folks at Ubisoft, but this one takes it back to its quote-unquote roots, right? This is the origination of the Assassins themselves, and it's a classic sword and sandals tale told in ancient Egypt. They've recreated a huge swath of that country. There's Roman legionaries, Julius Caesar, Cleopatra. It is a lavish game, and in particular, on the Xbox One X, it's going to look tremendous at those higher resolutions and those improved frame rates. It's a solid pick if you're buying for somebody with an Xbox One, or again, with that upgraded Xbox One X. I recently just got a Nintendo Switch, and so if you're a big spender and you know somebody who doesn't have a Nintendo Switch, get them one. Do them a favor. If they are flying anywhere or traveling anywhere in the near future, it's a tremendous asset to have. I put myself to sleep very nicely on a cross-country flight thanks to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. It's a fantastic game. I highly recommend it. There is also a new Mario game out. It's called Super Mario Odyssey. It's a departure from the series. It's more of a puzzle game than ever before. It's all about Mario in this land with a magical hat. And he can throw it onto items, onto people, onto a Tyrannosaurus Rex and become them. And the gameplay is changing really at every turn. It is delightful. It is enjoyable for all ages. And again, because it's on the Switch, it's really easy to travel with. Now, if you're buying for somebody with a PC, the new hotness right now is called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. It's absolutely taken the PC gaming world by storm, and it's from a new genre, or a genre that may be new to you and the person you're buying for. It's called the Battle Royale genre. Now, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is developed and designed by a guy named Brendan PlayerUnknown Green, and I've known him for years now, but he's been working at this battle royale genre through, I think this is the third or fourth iteration of it. It started as an ARMA 3 mod, and ARMA 2 mod, actually, I believe, and then an ARMA 3 mod. Then it morphed into a mode within the H1Z1 game, and later became H1Z1 King of the Kill. But now he's out on his own. He's with a Korean company called Bluehole. They've spun off the project as a new company called PUBG Inc. And PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, also called PUBG, is just a pulse-pounding arena multiplayer game where 100 players drop into a map, and it's the last one standing that comes away with the points and with the loot. It's a lot of fun, and it's not a lot of money. I think you can get it right now on Steam for about $30. So those are my recommendations for games for all of the different platforms. Again, to recap, PlayStation 4, can't say enough about Destiny 2, and it's a great population there. Xbox One or Xbox One X, I'd recommend Assassin's Creed Origins. Nintendo Switch, got to go with Super Mario Odyssey, or my personal favorite, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And on PC, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. And hey, if you're looking at hardware for anybody on your list, I'm actually working on a big review right now of headsets, gaming headsets. I've got right here one from Plantronics. This is called The Rig. This is the Rig 800LX. I've also got one here from Astro Headsets. This is the Astro A20. Not everybody has a fantastic 5.1 or 7.1 stereo system, and positional audio is such a big part of games these days, especially multiplayer games. Can't say enough about a good surround sound headset, and they're really plug and play. Lots of good options. We'll have a feature story, a review of a bunch of different models coming to Polygon.com before Black Friday. So again, Charlie Hall, senior reporter at Polygon. Thanks for the time.
Can't agree more with every one of those picks. All great games.
I really want to play the Super Mario game.
Yeah, that one looks like fun with a hat.
Yeah.
Do you have a Switch?
I don't.
Oh, the girls should need a Switch for Christmas.
Maybe at some point.
And Dad might borrow
it. Maybe at some point. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what would happen.
All right. I don't know why we have bongos, but I'm all for it. We're going to find out what those bongos are for. I know what they're for.
You probably know.
Man, I'm here to talk about the best mortgage solution in the world. Rocket Mortgage! This is not the beatnik version of mortgage, but it is the modern version of a mortgage solution. Rocket Mortgage is from Quicken Loans, the best lender in the country, bar none. Just look at the number, year after year, number of awards from J.D. Power for number one customer satisfaction. 7 years running. I mean, 4 years running for mortgage servicing. They're really, really good. But let me tell you, there's something that makes it even better, at least near and dear to me. Quicken Loans has created Rocket Mortgage. It is a mortgage approval process that's completely online. You could do it while you're playing dodgeball, apparently. The key, actually, really when you want to do this, is when you're at the open house, right? You get to the open house and you say, hey, honey, I bet this has happened to you. We weren't thinking about buying a new house, but this one's nice and it's affordable. Maybe we should buy it. The problem is you're going to say to the realtor, hey, we'll be back in a couple of weeks when we get the loan. That's the old-fashioned way. Now you just take out your phone. You go to rocketmortgage.com/NSS. Answer some really basic questions. Because they have trusted relationship with all the financial industry, all the banks, they can get all the information you need automatically as soon as you give them permission. And within minutes, not next week, not tomorrow, not in a couple of hours, within minutes, you will be approved for a loan that's right for you based on your income, your assets, your credit. You choose the down payment, you choose the term, you choose the rate. There's no, you apply simply, you will understand completely what's going on, and you'll mortgage with confidence with the best lender in the country. Is this what you want? You bet. Go to rocketmortgage.com/NSS. If you're buying or refinancing today, if you're not, bookmark it, because there's going to come a time you're at that open house. You say, honey, we should buy this house. And you'll say, oh, yeah, I remember Leo told me. What was the name of that? Rocket Mortgage? That's it. RocketMortgage.com/NSS, Equal Housing Lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. No more going to the attic to get paperwork. No more going hat in hand to the bank. You could do it all on your phone instantly at Rocket Mortgage. RocketMortgage.com/NSS. S.
They're going to find themselves in a home and remember that because of the bongos.
Bongos. I remember Leo playing bongos, something to do with space flight. It was rockmortgage.com/answers. Hey, so are these yours?
This is the yeah, this is all my stuff.
This is like a quality tambourine.
I don't know, actually, because I haven't really played a lot of tambourines.
I have, because when I'm in a band, I'm always a tambourine guy.
I see you as more like a triangle.
Yeah, triangle sometimes, if they really want me to stretch my wings.
Yes.
Mostly, though, it's this.
Flex your musical muscles. And I have to admit, these are my kids.
These are good bongos.
I'm borrowing them from them. They never play them. So
yeah, you're happy.
We'll put them through.
Whose
some
idea
today.
Was to give your kids drums? A bad idea.
Well, I guess so.
We gave Henry a drum set one year.
Yeah, I've heard. I've heard about the plight of parents who choose to do that. So why do we have all this stuff here?
Good
we have
question.
It here because a company called iZotope that I'm very familiar with on the software side of things got into creating hardware.
Yeah, I know iZotope stuff. Yeah, they do a lot of plugins, right?
Yeah, and a lot of like kind of noise reduction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And distortion. They do a whole bunch of really cool, unique plugins and software. But now they're getting into hardware, and
look
they released something that at
look
first...
At
I swear I looked at this thing and I was like, yeah, right. And I've come to love it so much. It's called the Spire. And what is it? It's a very funky looking thing here. It works. You can make it so that it works with, I have it running on an iPad, but it's an iOS app. And essentially it's a portable 8-track digital recorder.
But, what?
But, okay. And,
eight
and that's
tracks?
8 tracks, which...
But
really,
it records onto the iPad.
No, it all records onto here.
It has its
I could
own
have
storage.
This completely separate, and this could run entirely
what?
Dependent on the iPad.
That's so cool. Look how small that is.
So it's really small. You can see on the very front of here, there's a little built-in microphone. And I wouldn't say it's
you
the most amazing.
You wouldn't want to use that, would you?
Honestly, we'll get into it, but I'm perfectly fine using it. It's not the most amazing mic in the world, but because of the portability of this,
right.
It's nice to have it. It's really nice to have it. If
I
you don't
remember,
want to
I mean,
that,
I'm old enough that we used to use cassette, 8-track cassette records.
Yeah.
And
oh,
the
yeah,
sound
me too.
Was terrible. This
me
is,
too.
This is, and look how compact that is.
Yeah, it's all compact. This is a touch interface, so I can actually turn down the volume, turn it up.
Look
you can
that.
Do a bunch of other controls on here, which I'll show you in a second. On the back, it might be better from Alex's camera, perhaps.
There you
here.
Go.
On the back, you have your inputs, so each of the 8 tracks can be stereo or mono. It's really up
does
to
it
you.
Have MIDI in, or is that a mic
nope.
that's just the DIN plug for the mic? It's
it does not have MIDI in. These are just quarter-inch or XLR. It's like a dual-purpose input
right.
on both of them.
But that's good. So you could use good-quality microphones.
Absolutely, and
yeah.
I have done that myself as
yeah.
well.
Okay.
And then you have a headphone out on the back, and then you also have a headphone out on the front. So for collaborative reasons, you can get 2 people working
wow.
on this. Now, what I love about this is not that you're going to use this to record high-quality production-level stuff. I don't see this as that, although I've heard some samples of some songs that people have made with this, and they sound really great. As a songwriter, I see this as kind of like a realization of what I've always wanted for prototyping new ideas.
Like a little cassette recorder, except
yes.
it's much more capable, and you can carry it with you all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you can do that, by the way. So if you go ahead and take the camera, you can do that because you unplug the power, and it's still working because
what?
It's got a battery.
Oh,
and so you can
goodness.
Literally take... I pulled up into the driveway today to work here, and I had an idea. So in the car, I recorded a song.
That is
that's
amazing.
How easy this dang thing
wow.
is. I love it. So yeah. anyway, so you can see on the buttons on the front here, if I didn't have the iPad at all, I could fire off a new song, and I'll go ahead and do that, and we'll go into a new song. It's going to create it over here. But that creates kind of a new template and pulls it up on the iPad. If this was not connected, I could still do all of this without the iPad. You have the sound check option, and we're going to record a little song. Are you okay
sound
with
check's
that?
Sound check's kind of neat, yeah. So it could actually... Look, he's got a guitar.
I've got a guitar.
I have no musical
this
talent.
Is, this,
I should warn you.
That's okay. That's okay. So I'm going to show you how to do a multi-track recording. And this is what they do in studios. I'm sure you're very familiar with it. But for people who aren't, using the Spire, because like I said, I can usually record a song with this in about 5 minutes
yeah.
and have 8 tracks of discrete audio
yeah.
and have it sounding really
yeah.
good. Sound check is like automatic gain for the instrument that you're using. You want to set the input level to the right thing. I'm using a guitar right now, so I've got to make sure that this microphone is set to record the guitar at the right level. So quiet on the set. I'll go ahead and do this and set it properly. I'm just playing random stuff. Okay, so that's going to set the volume appropriately
that's
for...
That's actually a great feature.
Okay, so now, if I wanted to record, it's literally just a touch of the record button. I'll go ahead and do this and record. What we'll do is we'll first record the guitar track.
Good thinking.
And then we'll do other layers.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Okay, so now we've recorded that. We've hit stop.
That's cool.
Now you can see, this shows you that I've got one track. If you show right up on the spire here.
The purple.
It's kind of hard to show because I've got light.
It. Yeah, yeah.
This represents my one track. If I wanted to, I could tap and hold it, and I could mute it and play back. Or I could tap and hold it and bring it back and play it. And if you listen, we can now hear. I've got
That's recording through the built-in mic.
That's from the built-in
mic. That sounds great.
Sounds awesome, right?
Although guitar's not super challenging. Wait till I sing.
There are other, yes, more challenging. You're right. We'll get to that. Let's see here. Sometimes when you're doing guitar,
another track.
Sometimes when you do guitar, it's good to have a double track of it, have it be a little bit different. Then you stereo pan it out, and you can do that here too. And I'll do that here. I'll hit record. Let me make sure, because I'm a little nervous, so I forget where I need to go on the guitar. So now I'll hit record, and you'll hear it. Oh, sorry. Dang it.
You didn't record over it.
Oh, because I played it for you. I previewed it for you.
Oh, it's still there, though.
It's still there, but not entirely, but that's okay. I'm going to try and... There we go. Now I'm on track two, so let's try this. We'll see if I can just fluff it or something. Oh. So I kind of messed that up, and I apologize.
No, but I get what you're doing.
There's a weirdness there. So now, if you got the two, if you show the iPad, I can go into the mix here.
This is like gymnastics for Anthony, and I apologize. So if I go into the mix, I have this little layout of the left and right channels.
Can you show the iPad?
There we go. So this represents left and right.
Ah, so it makes it lower. Wow.
Entirely.
So you're panning it through left and right.
Panning it hard left and hard right here. So now, what do we need to do next? We need to do a little percussion. You want to do
I think
percussion?
You need some bongos. I don't think a song like this is complete.
Okay. So we're going to do bongos. So we have to do a couple of things here first. We'll go
sound
ahead and
check.
Do a sound check.
Sound check.
All right. So you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, good. Excellent. We're there.
He was telling
now,
me what to do.
We're going to make something a little special here.
What should
if I
do
go
with
into
this?
Here,
yeah.
It has effects built in.
Oh.
But these are recording effects. So these aren't effects that you can put in the mix. These are recorded. These are effects that you record, actually.
Oh, so, look, I hear echo.
Let's see, bongo. We're going to do
today,
acoustic.
I consider myself.
Sorry, I'll give you full for that.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
We're not going to do that, but that was fantastic.
Can I just carry this with me all the time? I'd like to have that. Okay, so that's a little more slapbacky kind.
So but I brought it down because it gives the bongos a little bit of extra kind of warmth, a little bit of feeling to it. Now, because I recorded over the top of that one thing, it might be kind of hard.
I'm
going to
make really loud noises at the beginning.
All right. So you ready to go?
Yeah.
And we did the sound. Yes, we did the soundtrack. Here you go. Okay, all right, excellent. That was fantastic. You are a natural, Leo. It's amazing how good you are at this. Okay, so
when do I get to do this? This is not real forte.
We can do that next. Actually, how about this? How about you do the tambourine and I'll do the shaker? And it's going to be both of us on a single track.
It's a duet.
I'm going to go ahead and take... should I leave this effect on? Sure, why not? All right, so we're going to do a little sound check. Ready? Here we go. That's probably good enough. Okay, now we're going to record it, and it's going to be the percussion part. Here we go.
So we're getting there. I love it. I love this process. It's so great. So we're 4 of 8 tracks now. This is where it gets a little...
I wish we had 2 little girls to sing the lead vocals on this.
Well, we do, Leo.
What?
Maybe not 2 little girls, but we have 2 people. Okay.
I can sing like that.
I'm sure my girls would love to be here to sing this song.
Yeah, you want you to play, before we go, the song that you did with your girls.
Peace Like a River. Really, yeah, we did that one afternoon. It was really, really cool. It sold me on this, actually.
Okay,
so the next one. So I wrote some really cheesy lyrics. Well, they're not that cheesy, but they are lyrics for the song.
Okay.
Now, how do you want to do this? Do you want to do one and I'll do one? I'll do the first... Okay. So let's do sound check first. I can believe I'm on the new screensavers. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Okay.
This is terrible.
This is awesome.
This is no reflection on the fine Yellow Gold album. I just want everybody to know this is not what your music sounds
let me
like.
Let me just say one thing, though. If there was a microphone in the room of someone who is recording a song like this, it would sound completely ridiculous as you are witnessing.
Yeah, because
the beauty of it is when you put it all together and you do things to that, it ends up sounding awesome.
That's not going to work.
You just got to get over it. All right. So, and for this, I can do the dub echo.
Lots of echo.
Don't want it too. Don't want it too saturated, though. Would you believe? Okay, something like that. Okay. You ready? Okay, now...
That did not sound like anything.
You didn't hear it, did you?
No.
Here, we'll go ahead
and...
It's okay. Do you want to preview where we're at right now?
Yeah.
Okay, we're just going to listen. It's going to sound rough.
You should mix that.
All right, now...
I get the
vocals.
Idea.
All right.
Exactly something I'd send to A&R at
you wouldn't, but
Chrysalis Records.
But let me just say, like being able to pull up into the parking lot
and
record in 5 minutes an actual idea, fully realized idea.
You did that in the parking lot?
I did that in the parking lot.
We were wondering why you were spending so much time in the car, but now I understand.
But okay, so
let's
see here. I want to
look at all, and it's now, is it saved to the device or saved to the iPad? It's recording to the device, but then it copies it over to the... How does that work?
It's all recorded into the device.
It's all in here. How many hours of music am I recording?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Six hours
of music.
That's a lot.
All right, so...
And you can, I presume, offload it.
Let's see here. Yes, that is one of the benefits of what you can do. So this is NSS Trial Run. This was me kind of like rehearsing
with
this
actual
particular
musician.
Song.
Okay, good.
So this is all of the elements isolated from my home, and it appears to not be working for some reason. Why is that not working? No, I don't want to record. Here, I'll just go ahead. Sounds a little bit richer, a little bit more full, and you can basically take these things and mix them down. When you're done with it, if it'll let me into the dang project, I've had no problems with this until this very moment.
Of course, it's the demo gods.
But basically what you can do is you can export this.
All the tracks individually as well.
Yeah, so you can share the mix. You can upload it directly
SoundCloud.
To SoundCloud.
Wow.
And it puts it up immediately. You can send it to other apps or all the individual tracks.
Standard project format that other apps can use?
The audio files that it exports individually can be imported into other digital audio workstations.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you can share it with other Spire users. So if you have a friend who has a Spire, you can share it out and they get to play around with it. But it's a lot of fun. See, here you go.
See, I could tell Jerry was on the bottom. That's so much better. You did it all.
What is this, $350?
Wish you'd played that for me before so I knew what my part was.
We didn't rehearse enough. That's okay.
We didn't rehearse at all.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to sound
great. How
much?
$350? $350. I think that's cool. If I were a musician, I mean, this is a really amazing device.
It fills a need in my life because I record song ideas with my mouth into a voice memo.
Right.
And with this being as portable as it is, like, at least I could even still do that, but layer them instead of having to be like, all right, and then the bass goes, da-da-da-da-da, and then the guitar goes, bling, bling, bling. Instead, I could do it all in layers and have something to go from.
It's the Spire, $350 from, what's the website?
Izotope. Go to Izotope.
Izotope.com.
And you'll find Spire there. Nice. And I think it just came out like a few weeks ago. I'm loving it. I'm really having a great time with it.
Spire.live is the website, spire.live. Okay. Hey, we're going to answer the mailbag questions in just a little bit. I'm sure there's some people with some Android questions for you. But before we go on, have you noticed it's getting colder and colder in the studio, let alone outside? Thank God I have my Eddie Bauer Evertherm jacket. These are the best, warmest jackets. But if you look at them, let me put mine on. We're going to New York next week for my birthday, and it's going to be cold. I'm wearing my Evertherm. I'm bringing this. Look at this. Eddie Bauer has been known for years as the place to go for outdoor wear, and they have just announced this Evertherm, and I wanted to show it to you. Hold on a second. I got the deets right here. This is 30G thin-down insulation. I'm sure you know what that means. It doesn't mean anything to me. All I know is this is like a windbreaker. That's going to give me warmth down to minus 15, 15 below. You should have this in Manitoba. This is, but it's not a puffy, right? Okay, so what I love about this is it is using down fabric, not loose down clusters, so they don't have to do the quilting. And, you know, quilting is a bad thing on a jacket because where the quilting is, you know, the threads are cold spots. That's where heat's going to escape. The down does a great job where it's not sewn down. So this is down all the way, so it holds heat better than traditional down. In fact, if you go to the website, you're going to see an infrared image of a traditional quilted down jacket versus the Evertherm down jacket. It's down, but you don't look like the Michelin man. You don't have all the puff. And by the way, for outdoors people, it's great because the mobility is good. You can move your, you're not walking around with your arms sticking out. You can walk around. You feel great. You feel like you're wearing a men's breaker. It is light, too. This extra large men's is 11.36 ounces. I don't feel like I'm wearing anything at all. It's wind resistant. It is water resistant. Has storm repellent DWR technology. They have men's and they have women's. And, of course, it's Eddie. There you go. There's the thermal picture where you can see all the heat escaping from where the down is stitched. Not in this. There's no stitching. It's beautiful. Eddie Bauer's world-class guys have tested the Evertherm on Mount Everest and Mount Kilimanjaro and the Grand Tetons. I'm going to be bringing it to the wilds of New York City. You should wear this in Manitoba. You should wear this in Winnipeg, in Saskatoon, in the Great White North. This is the nicest jacket I've ever had for winter, because it's so lightweight. I want you to live your adventure with the new Evertherm down jacket from Eddie Bauer. You'll get it at Eddie Bauer stores or online. Eddie Bauer, EddieBauer, EddieBauer.com/Evertherm. No quilting, no cold spots. This is the Evertherm down jacket. You know what? I'm keeping it on.
It's nice.
Because it's kind of chilly in the studio. I love this. And I think you look a lot better with the Evertherm. No more Michelin man puffing. All right, where are we going next? We're going to have a call for help.
Yeah.
All right, so watch in the miracle of modern television technology. How did we do that? It's a miracle.
That's weird. I'm a little dizzy right now.
Yeah. I like this everything. It's now time for a call for help. Got a question. This is actually pre-recorded, but it's definitely for you, from Manuel in Sacramento, California.
Hi, Leo. I'm having problems with full-page pop-up ads on my Samsung Galaxy S6 and on my Samsung Galaxy Tab. I don't know where they came from. At first, I thought it was a virus. I don't know where I would have got that from. I'm wondering what apps could cause that, or if Google's going to... That's the new way Google's going to... base their advertising towards, because I think it's really annoying. I would never click on one of those pop-up ads, and it's just scaring me away from Google, essentially.
I have not noticed this.
I've seen it on websites.
I've heard people talk about it. Yeah.
So that's the question. And I'm afraid we don't have enough information for Manuel to understand if this is something that happens only when he's in the browser.
Right.
In which case, it would just be a full screen ad. A lot of websites are putting those up these days. It drives me crazy. There's even worse stuff they're doing. Or if it's happening like he's using an app and all of a sudden something pops up.
Right.
So there's two different answers to that. The question, if you're seeing it in the browser, that's just an ad. There are also sites now that do keep scrolling, and as you scroll up to read something, an big ad comes, and it says it has to explain. Keep scrolling to keep. It's like driving me nuts, and it's because.
Yeah. It's so bad.
You want to know the real reason? Nobody sees these ads. You don't see these ads. We are training our minds to just tune out the ad noise because I want to see this article. And so they have to do more and more, you know, punch the monkey things to get you to see the ad.
It's
terrible.
I mean, it could really be a number of things. Like Leo said, it's hard to know exactly where this is coming from. So then it's a matter of looking on your device and seeing if you can figure it out, right? It sounds to me like it could be an installed app with a bad sort of pop-up behavior.
So before we go on, in the first case, you can run an ad blocker on the Samsung browser. If you're using the Samsung browser.
Yeah, if it's a browser, yes.
So if you only see this when you're browsing the web and you're using, by the way, I think the Samsung Internet browser is actually a really good browser compared to, say, Chrome. It's faster than any browser. Yeah. If you're using that, then install the ad blocking plugins, and that should fix that.
Well, they even have pop-up blockers within the settings of the Samsung browser that you can activate.
So ad blockers will be your help friend there. But if it is happening in an app, that's different, and that's what you were about to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where it becomes kind of difficult to know exactly what's generating it. You know, I'm curious to know if this pop-up is appearing over the top of your browser or if it's appearing over the top of your home screen.
If it's anything but a browser,
then it's probably some sort of an app that you have running on your device. There was an app called Peel Remote as just as one example that was found to be doing this with screen overlays not too long ago, and I think there may have even been a part of the settings in this particular app where you could turn that functionality off.
This is the problem with an open operating system like Android. This would never happen on an iPhone because apps can't affect other apps.
Right.
But an Android, they do let you do that. In fact, there's a specific feature that many security researchers have complained about, and Google said, no, we're not going to take it out. It's the ability to draw over apps, and it's actually a permission you give an app. Now, I know when you install an app like the Peel app, you don't read all the permissions, you don't see. But there is a permission that says draw over apps, and the reason Google doesn't want to take it out, I'm convinced, is because Facebook uses it for the chat heads, the chat bubbles that pop up with Facebook Messenger, you know, and they'll pop up anyway. They're like these full screen ads, except that they're just little heads if somebody wants to talk to you and you can move it around. And you'll notice that pops up no matter what you're doing in an app, in a lock screen, wherever, you can move them around. So that permission can be turned off. I wish Google would disable it because security researchers point out, you know, one of the things you could pop up is a Google login. You're using a Google phone. You might give bad guys your Google login?
Yeah, and actually, Google is acting on this because it just occurred to me. It was a little less than a week ago. They put out a message about their accessibility API saying that there are lots of apps that use it for things that are not accessibility features. And this would be one of them. Drawing over apps is something that LastPass did for a very long time in order to do the fill-in for password. Right. They're starting to clamp down on that and say, no, look, this can really be used for a lot of negative
things. So are they going to turn it off?
They're enforcing the rules that say that you have to abide by their rules on whether you use this this feature, and if so, it's got to follow kind of their accessibility requirements. If you're using it outside of their requirements, the developers can take a look at. I think they have something like 30 days to do this; otherwise, it's going to be removed from the Play Store.
You can go into your settings and turn off draw over apps.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, you can go in on a per-app basis. If you go into your settings, go into your apps section, find a particular app that you think might be doing this, and in there, in the settings, there's actually a little toggle for draw-over apps, and you can switch that off.
It's easy in the case of the Peel app because it's going to do an advertisement sort of for Peel, right? But if you're getting ad choices, that means it's random Google ads, so it may not be tied to the app. So it might be hard to figure out what app's doing it.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfortunate because if it's coming from Google's ad network, I would hope that Google would not want to tarnish the Android experience by having those appearing in Android because I think that looks bad on the platform itself. So maybe that's part of why they're, you know, making those changes to the API.
There are reasons for it. It's accessibility. There are apps that use it. I mentioned Facebook's Chathead. Somebody in the chat room said Tasker uses it, of course. And you want Tasker to be able to use these things. But it is inherent. I think it's inherently a security problem. And Google has to figure out a way to not turn off accessibility, but still protect you. Mm-hmm. And it really is annoying. That's terrible.
Yeah.
So that's two different reasons it could happen. One is turn on your ad blocker and your pop-up blocker in your browser. The other is to look for that drawover apps and turn it off in whatever applications you don't really think need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And start there. And that's going to be the hard part, is figuring out which app is actually doing that, if it's coming from an app.
We love your tech questions. We love doing Call for Help. We need more tech questions. So here is how you can get your question on the next new Screen Savers.
Need tech help? The new Screen Savers are here with answers. Email your tech questions to newscreensavers@twit.tv.
Well, I'm actually really relieved to hear that Google's addressing it. The first time this came up, we talked about it on Security Now. Google's answer was, no, we're not going to take that out. And I guess if it's accessibility, I could see why they would be reluctant.
Well, and also, actually, it just occurred to me that one of the features, like LastPass is a prime example. That feature was being used so that password managers could work within the OS. But now with Oreo, they've worked that into the autofill functionality. So maybe they've done that, and now they're like, okay, the main reason that we were okay with it is now addressed inside the OS. Now let's get all the other people.
That's a good way to handle it, which is to find a way that's safe to do it.
Yeah.
And that's why Android's always evolving. And, you know,
I'm sure that they will. If there's a functionality that's happening that's really valuable to the ecosystem that you don't get by using those accessibility features, if Google recognizes that,
they'll put an API.
Let's hope they put an API in to address it.
Mailbag's coming up in just a second. But first, now this is not a full review. This is going to be a first look at a new home automation system we thought was pretty cool. Megan's going to show you her home installation of the Noon, like the sun at noon, right above N-O-O-N, smart lighting system. Watch.
I am here with Javad and Katie from Noon Home, and we're going to install the Noon smart lighting. So tell me, what do we have here?
Here we have the smart lighting kit, and so this is the starter kit. Over here, you actually have separate individual switches. And so in the kit, what you get here is you get our room director, which coordinates the lighting with the extension switches. And inside, you also get a few different options for wall plates. And then the actual bases, which will actually connect to the wiring in your home. We also provide you with the wall screws that you need, and we also provide the wire nuts.
So what I don't see here is any light bulbs.
No, you got those.
I have my existing light bulbs, which is really why I was excited about this product, because when I first moved into this house, one of my smart home expert friends said, that's going to cost so much money to replace all those smart bulbs, and I thought, oh, that's true. But I don't have to replace any of my bulbs here.
Correct.
You got your toolbox. Let's get started.
Awesome. Okay, so we have completed cutting off the breakers, removing the old switches. We installed the new switches and the wall plate. And then we've installed all of the switches and turned them on. And then we went ahead and paired the room director first, and then all of the extensions to that room director.
It was really easy. Just pressed them and waited, and now I have everything added to my phone. So it's asking me if any of these switches are on a multi-way circuit.
Okay, so we had this one here, and that was with the one over here. Now they are communicating together, and they understand that they're part of one light. So now that we've paired everything and grouped the ones that are part of a multi-way, we're now going to do bulb discovery, basically discover what types of lights they are, so that it can then set up scenes afterwards.
How's the technology work? How does it know this?
As it's running this bulb discovery, and you saw it turn the lights on and off, it's taking a look at the curves on the lines, and it can tell there's a difference in the curves depending on what type of bulb you have and what type of fixture you have. It affects that curve.
So here's what it discovered: the incandescent halogen, non-dimmable, and dimmable LED.
So it's saying that of the seven lines that you have a mix of those things.
Okay, select an area that best matches the pulsing light. So would I call it a kitchen area or a dining area? Because it's kind of both.
That's up to you.
Okay, I'll say kitchen. Okay, select the fixture type.
What it's trying to get at here is it's just trying to understand the different types of lights they are so they can help set up the scene. So this is a part of that lighting design.
I would say pendants.
Yep.
So we call these
recessed. Yep. And really at this point you're done.
Okay.
It's created those auto-generated scenes for you, you know, from bright of all of them. every daylight. You can see that it's all happening around you, right? And relax would be like your ultra dim. It'll also turn off some of the non-dimmable ones. So, for instance, you'll see the CFLs that aren't dimmable. Mm-hmm. So it turns out they weren't dimmable. It'll just cut them off, and it'll put everything else at the low light. And then you can also do your individual control here. So you just have them all kind of laid out, and you can turn them on and off if you wanted to do just specific things. If you're sitting on the couch and you wanted to adjust something, you can have that adjust. And then you can do a few other things here. You can set up your Alexa. You can do things that have to do with whole home control. So that includes the vacation mode, which will mimic your patterns when you're away.
So it knows. It doesn't just automatically turn on at 5 o'clock like everybody else.
Correct. We can actually see your patterns. So we know when the lights have been coming on and off in general. If you come home at 5:15, 5:30, it'll come on at 5:12, 5 whatever, right? That's just an example. And then nightlight. So nightlight will actually work with the proximity sensor that's in the room director. And so let's say an example would be you come downstairs to grab a drink of water at like 2 a.m. As you're walking down the stairs, this would see you, and it'll then, without you having to find the switches or click anything on, it'll turn the lights on to a really low dim level so you're not getting blinded. And then it'll actually then, after a few minutes, time out by itself and just turn the lights off too. So on your way back up, you don't even have to worry about the switch. They'll just do it for you. So the same things you were doing in the app, a lot of them you can actually do from here as well. So, you know, you put the relaxed scene on. I can swipe to that everyday scene, the bright scene. I can take it to that kitchen area scene. So I can do that here as well. And then by clicking, I can actually also do the all on off. So they've turned them all off. And you'll see that it's grayed out now. And then I'll turn it back on. It'll go back to that scene that you had previously just by clicking. And then, of course, you can also, for each individual extension switch, you can also go ahead and control those lights themselves. And you can also dim them.
So I don't need my phone to turn my lights on and off.
Correct.
And it is connected to Wi-Fi, but if my Wi-Fi goes out or, you know, for whatever reason, I can just
They'll still communicate to each other and work, yes.
Awesome. So why would someone get the Noon system instead of like a smart light bulb or just a plain smart switch?
Yeah, so we really put a lot of thought into how we wanted to make this product. And lighting is so complex. Like if you've ever gone to a hardware store, just done a simple run to try to get a light bulb, you're standing in like aisles and aisles of lights and trying to figure out which looms matches with what light. So we wanted to eliminate all that complexity and put it in the switch. So it automatically, as you saw, detects your bulbs and fixtures and works with your existing bulbs and fixtures. So it removes all of that work of changing out the light bulb and having to manually figure out, you know, which bulb you would want. And it just automatically detects it and then it layers the lights. We have a lighting designer built in. So we want to create the perfect scene for you for eating. So we're going to move the light, you know, over to your dining area and maybe dim in other areas. So those are some unique features to us.
So I have never changed a switch. Apparently a lot of people can do this. I know people who are watching can do this. There were a lot of wires and you guys did most of the work. So who's the right person that can just install this themselves?
Yeah, you know, we've actually found there's a really high number of people that have switched out a light switch themselves. We actually did some studies and found that 70% of people have changed out a light switch, which is really crazy high. But we wanted to offer a ton of different options. So it's obviously DIYable. And on our support section of our website, we have this awesome guided installation that can really help take you through step by step of how to DIY it yourself. But if you, you know, are uncomfortable with wiring, then we do have a nationwide network of installers that can come out and install it for you. And any electrician can also install it as well.
So we almost maxed out your system with 10 switches, but we have 7. So 10 is the most that you can do.
You can do for every one room director switch, you can have 10 extension switches. So you can have as many room director switches as you want in your house, but you can only connect 10 for each room director. So basically, since we are able to control this open space with the 10 switches, and then if you wanted to go put something in your master bedroom, for instance, you could have one room director in there with a number of up to 10 extension switches throughout your master bathroom or your bedroom as well.
Now I need to ask the big question. How much does it cost?
Yeah. This is our starter kit. So it comes with one room director and 2 extension switches. It's $399.99. And you can also buy these separately. So our room director is $199.99 and our extension switches are $99.99. We're really excited. We've been out of stealth now for about 2 weeks. So now that we're out of stealth, we can start talking to a number of people and partnerships. And I think sky's the limit for us. And, you know, we're really focused on lighting right now and super excited to see, you know, what else we can bring.
That is awesome. Are you going to do it?
Well, I don't know. So I've got Hue light bulbs in a lot of our rooms now.
Right.
We actually don't have a lot of lighting in our house, I'm realizing. Right. So that's fine. Like, most of our rooms have Hue at this point, and I'm pretty okay with that, putting the Hue switch in the wall. But I really like the ability to just put this
switch in, especially like when you saw Megan's ceiling in that one room.
Yeah.
How many bulbs were there? And the cost of replacing all those to smart bulbs would be crazy.
Megan had it just installed Wednesday, so we don't want to do a review. And in fact, she has had a couple of issues. So she's going to be on the show next time, and we will have a full review on the new screensavers of the Noon system. She probably didn't want to say bad things while they were standing there. She wanted to wait till they leave. All right, time for the mailbag. Before we get to our questions, I think, Jason, this is your opportunity to tell us about Yellow Gold, third album.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up.
Yes, I've worked for a while on this album.
So you've already recorded it.
I've already recorded it. I've actually already mixed it as well, but it's been a lot of late nights around everything else that's been going on.
But as you did with your previous one, you're going to do it on Kickstarter.
Yeah, well, I figured why not? You know, when I took Everyone to Kickstarter, I never in a million years thought that it would do as well as it did. And so everyone had been asking me since, like, when you do your next album, are you doing Kickstarter? I was like, well, I don't see why I wouldn't. So right now, it's basically all about mastering the album and potentially getting a mixing engineer in on it to see if their mix would be better than mine, because I'm super curious about that.
It's hard to mix your own music. It's nice to have an extra ear, a producer.
I agree.
Who will give you an objective point of view, somebody you trust. Because I know for anything you do, whether it's writing, podcasts, or music, it's hard to judge your own stuff very.
Yeah, though
you're there, you live in it.
Yeah, I mix as I go is the problem. It's just part of my recording process is mixing as I go. So when I'm done with the song, I'm done with the mix. And I'm really curious to see what somebody else, impartial but professional, could do to that. So
you're going to raise money for that on Kickstarter.
That's what I'm doing right now.
If you search Kickstarter for Yellow Gold, will you find it? Is that the best
way? Yeah, or you can go to yellowgoldmusic.com/Kickstarter. My site is yellowgoldmusic.com. Actually, if you go to yellowgoldmusic.com, you'll see the link. It's right on the front there. Nice. And, I got 28 days to do this. We'll see if I can do it. I've got all of those Kickstarter nerves going right now, but I'm super excited.
I love this. I think it's great for musicians, for artists, to be able to do this and not have to sign with a big label and give them the rights to your masters and all of that, but to own what you do.
Absolutely.
In the mailbag. You know what? I know why this is here, because I am supposed to tell you that the holidays are coming.
That's
And
nice.
We have a new hoodie. Look at that. Isn't that pretty? We actually have a bunch of new merch, and you can find it all at twit.tv/store.
That's nice.
We've gone to a different provider. They're doing really, I think, this is really nice stuff. And if you have a geek in your life, sure. Oh, good. We've got the mug. I'm glad to see the Security Now mug. I love that. Sure, you can, you know, drive all the way down from Manitoba with them and see a show. Or you could go to the twit.tv/store and pick up some merch.
Nice.
Well, we've got a little merch for you, actually.
Yeah, a little beanie hat there.
Doing our show open.
For the winter.
Came all the way from Manitoba, where it's probably snowing right now, right?
Yeah. You need one of those twit beanies, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think this hoodie would be a pretty good choice. Yeah, maybe we can find one in his size. What do you think? Maybe that one. I don't know. Now it's time for the mailbag. You can pick a mail from here. You don't need your copy of that. Email one is yours, my friend.
This is David, who writes, "Hello, Jason and Leo. My
Hello.
Question involves the Galaxy S8 and OnePlus. I personally have the S7. I am unhappy with the device's battery life and its awfully slow user interface. I'm wondering if you would see the Galaxy S8 having similar issues down the road. Is the UI a major improvement over the S7? And would you recommend the OnePlus 5 to a photography-loving user?"
Right, that's a good question.
So there's a few things here, I think, in David's question. The first is a general question about Android, which is, do all phones slow down and, you know, the battery life decline over the year?
Samsung's were notorious for years. My experience with the S8 has been it did not.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so far, I mean, the S8, when did it release? It released in March.
It's
April, right around there.
Samsung, even when you first got one, often would have a little bit of lag because of the TouchWiz UI, which was terrible.
I think they
fixed it. But you're right. In general, Android phones do seem to get crufted up.
I feel like it's a systemic issue of Android devices, which is that no matter how good they are, check in with it a year later, and it still may be a great phone. Like, I feel this about the Pixel 1. It still may be a great phone, but it's by no means as perfect as it was a year ago.
Can resetting the phone fix that?
That can help, yeah. It could be a problem of just having too many apps. Like, when you live with a phone for a year and you install these apps and you remove them and you do all these things, you use up the storage space, all that stuff can kind of get in there over time, and it's almost like it leaves a history of use that maybe wiping it and starting fresh will address. I don't know for sure. I don't think anyone knows for sure whether the S8 or the S8 Plus will experience that again. My historical perspective is that at some point it probably will. I mean, it just seems like they all do.
If you're unhappy with the S7, you might want to look at the Pixel. I think the Pixel 2 XL, I know it got all these bad reviews for the screen. Man, I feel like it's a great phone. Yep. And it has one advantage over any Samsung device. Google's going to keep it up to date.
Yeah.
Plus, now that's a big advantage. A 2-year warranty. Mm-hmm. That makes it even better, right?
Yep.
And a 3-year guaranteed update policy. I think that's I'm a big fan of the Pixel 2 XL. It's going to be bigger, and it's not quite as elegant, I guess, as the S8. S8 Plus in particular.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel safer with Google.
Now, how do you feel comparing those to the OnePlus 5? Because he's asking about the OnePlus 5, which I'm not entirely sure the strategy of OnePlus when they release the 5T, whether the 5 goes away, whether it's a replacement.
Well, why would you buy the 5?
Exactly. I was going to say, if you're going to get the 5, pony up $20 extra and get the 5T. Yeah. You get a better phone. You get great camera. That's one of my favorite things of the OnePlus 5, the 5, not the 5T, when I played around with it, is that it has a f1.7 aperture camera, really good in low light. I felt like for its price category of around $500, it was a great camera phone.
That's another thing that confuses me about the question. You're talking about two different phones. Yeah. One's twice as much as the other. I don't know what your price point is. If you don't mind spending $1,000, get a Pixel 2 XL. If you're going to buy a S8, I'd get a Pixel 2 XL. But if you want to save, I think this OnePlus 5T, and I think the Essential phone was really dealt a bad hand because it had so many problems when it first came out. Mm-hmm. And people didn't buy it. They fixed, in my opinion, fixed those problems. I think it's a beautiful little phone, no bezel, really feels good in the hand. And they've dropped the price now. You can get it for $450. So if price is an issue,
gosh, it's not much.
I don't have a lot of experience with the OnePlus 5T, but I think that Essential phone is great.
Yeah, and I mean, on my my holiday gift guide,
that was
Essential,
your mid-range one.
The Essential was my mid-range.
But you're going to have a full review of the OnePlus 5T.
The 5T, absolutely. Yeah. I'm gonna do a full review.
So you might want to wait for that. Yeah. I would these days. I really like. I thought the camera was great on the S8 Plus. I had an S8 Plus. Mm-hmm. I then moved on to the Note 8, which I also really like. And if you need a stylus, the Note's a great choice.
Yeah.
But I'm not as crazy about the modifications Samsung makes to their phones. I just feel like it's kind of non-standard. It's hard for me to say.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Here's email number 2 from Doris. Doris says, I'm 82 years old, and I'm at home most of the time. I enjoy playing games like Sugar Smash and Cookie Jam, etc. I'm interested in buying a second tablet for games when the first is used up.
When the power is used on my iPad.
So you want to play like 12, 13, 14 hours a day. The iPad only gets 10 or 11 hours. So you need a second inexpensive tablet. Well, the good news is Apple does offer inexpensive iPads. The base model iPad, which is probably just fine for what you want to do, it starts at $329. Mm-hmm. And I would look for Black Friday deals. I bet you can even get it lower than that.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of... So the other choice would be an Android tablet, right?
And I mean, a lot of those main games that you find on iOS are going to be on Android.
Android. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite Android tablet?
Well, right now, Ron Richards, a few weeks ago on the show, actually bought a new tablet. He's a fan of the tablet, but there's not a whole lot of tablet options in Android.
I wouldn't
get
the Pixel C, although Google is dropping the price, I think, for Black Friday.
Oh, are they?
To around the same price as an iPad.
I mean, it's like a two-year-old device now, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't get that over the iPad.
I'm not sure.
Samsung makes pretty nice tablets, right?
Samsung has the Tab S3 that's pretty good. It's a little more
but it's expensive too. Yeah. It's like an iPad price.
So Ron checked out the Asus ZenPad 3S10. And as far as he was saying, he's super excited about that. It's $299.
Okay.
And 9.7-inch screen, 2048 by 1536, so a high-resolution screen, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, fingerprint sensor, USB-C with quick charge 3.0. He's all over this thing.
So. Now, Doris, here's going to be a problem. You have games that you're playing. You have progress you've made in those games.
That's a big challenge.
It almost never goes across platforms. So if you were to get and spend another $30 and get an iPad for $329, you could then play the same game at the same point because you're logged into Game Center.
Yeah.
But if you now go to an Android device, you're going to have a completely new game. Yep. There's no way your saved progress is going to go over to the Android side.
And that's on the developers, right? I mean, because the developers
could potentially...
Well,
there's a Game Center in Android, but it's a hard thing to do.
So,
it is on the developer. The developer could do it, and I think there are some games... In fact, I know there are some games, where your progress is the same on both. But it's not guaranteed, and I think that would be a disappointment to you if you've got to level 43 in Sugar Smash, and all of a sudden you're back at level 1 on your new Android tablet. That would be kind of a bummer. So I think, given the price, I think the they call it iPad. There's no iPad number or anything, just iPad for $329. I think that's going to be the best choice for you.
And
it's going to give you the best battery life. The game will be exactly the same. I don't think it'll be a problem. I play Words with Friends with my 84-year-old mom, and that you could play on Android or iOS. It doesn't matter. The progress is saved because that's a networked game, and that's not a problem. But I think some of these other games you would have that problem.
Or you buy an extension cord.
Plug it in,
and you could play all day and night.
Wait a minute. That $10 extension cord.
That's why I just saved you a lot of money. Just $10 extension cord, you're good to go.
No. Yeah, somebody's reminding me that The Simpsons, I played on both iOS and Android, and it saved your progress from both games. So it is possible to do it.
Nice.
And I love that NVIDIA Shield tablet, but that's going to cost more than an iPad. But that's the ultimate gaming tablet if you're a serious gamer. I think they've discontinued it now. Anyway, thank you, Doris. We appreciate the call. Thank you all for being here.
Yeah. Thank you. This is fun.
Thank you especially.
Absolutely.
Don't forget... yellowgold.com?
Yellowgoldmusic.com.
Music.com for Jason's new album.
Thank you.
You'll catch Jason Tuesday, every Tuesday, about 5 p.m. Now that we don't have to get out of the way for TNT, you probably can start 5:30 with Ron Richards and Oh That Flow, Florence Ion, for All About Android every Tuesday.
And this week we're having OnePlus on. Kyle,
that'll be great.
OnePlus, so that should be a good interview.
Every Thursday with Megan Maroney doing Tech News Weekly, which, by the way, I'm very pleased to say... lots of people are listening to.
Right on.
It is a very popular show. What we did is we took the 5-day-a-week Tech News Today, and we put all the best stuff into one show. And I think that makes sense. A lot of people, it turns out daily podcasts are tough. They're tough for us to do. You were in a grind. They're tough for listeners. Nobody wants 5 podcasts a week. So what we did is we took the best parts of Tech News Today, put it into Tech News Weekly. You're interviewing the newsbreakers and the newsmakers, really getting some great interviews.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun.
So highly recommend you check out, we call it TNW, so twit.tv/TNW, twit.tv/AAA for All About Android, and of course for this show, twit.tv/NSS. As always, you can watch our shows live. This show we do Saturday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2300 UTC. You can also be live in studio. We had some fabulous guests from Manitoba. All you have to do is email tickets@twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you. But I know you're busy. You got a life. So maybe the best thing is the on-demand version. Every show, audio and video available either at our website, twit.tv, or on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to the new Screensavers. You'll be here for each and every episode. We wouldn't want to miss you. And as long as you're subscribing, don't forget our newsletter, twit.tv/newsletter, which will give you every week. Jerry puts that together as some of the stuff coming up in the week ahead. It's going to give you a heads up on what's ahead on our shows. We are very grateful that you listen or you watch, you download, you watch and live stream. We love the people in the chat room. You're welcome to join them at irc.twit.tv. We'll hope you come back next Saturday for the new Screensavers. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Friendly Manitoba.